As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today we're going to be talking about men's mental health and just how does that work in gender roles and men in general. I'm a man myself. And so I know from my perspective and being a therapist that men in general have a hard time really talking about their roles, their mental health, seeking help. And then how does that affect the relationships that men are in, whether it's a marriage relationship or a dating relationships. And so my guest today, I'm really excited. She is a licensed therapist out of Texas. Her name is Crystal DeSantis. And we're going to be talking about that, that the male gender roles, male mental health, and all of everything in between. And she wrote a book that we're going to be talking about. I'm really excited about to be able to share with you, and she's going to be sharing her experience as well on the book and where you can get it. But I want us to kind of focus in on this whole idea of men seeking mental health and how important it is, and yet how often men resist that. And so I want to be talking about this, really pay attention to this. If you, maybe you have a man in your life, maybe your husband, a boyfriend, a son, a grandson, somebody in your life, or if you're a man yourself, I really want you to tune into this. And so let's talk about this. Crystal, welcome to the show.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk about this. I love this topic.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am too. And I'm really excited. I was really really excited that you reached out, and because this is a topic that's so important, and yet I think so often, I with my work as a therapist, I meet with a lot of men who almost come into the session sheepishly, right? It's like, ooh, I don't know if I really want to be here because this is really hard for me to talk about my emotions. And so when you reached out to me and they said, hey, I have a book, I wrote this book and this is what I do, can I come on my show? And I'm like, yeah, let's get you on and let's talk about this. So, but before we get to your book and the topic, I want to know a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about you, your story. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah. So I was always interested in psychology. So when I was in undergrad, I did a psychology minor, and actually I went to an all women's college. So I was very much kind of surrounded by, you know, the messages that this society gives to women, right? So it was an excellent experience for me. But I didn't date at all in college. You know, I was just like doing my thing, getting my degree. But I was really interested in psychology, and one of the specializations of psychology in undergraduate that I was really interested in was psychology in the workplace. So industrial organizational psychology. And so there was a time in my life where I thought I would be an IO psychologist. But in the workplace, it's mixed gender, right? And so that's really where I started recognizing different groups of people, different cultures have different cultural norms. And so that was really fascinating to me, like seeing how men interacted with each other in their like masculine culture, and then seeing how women interacted with each other in their more kind of feminine culture. And then, what happens when these kind of cultures bump up against each other, and what happens when they, create new cultures of workplaces or families or relationships. So that's really kind of what sparked my interest in all of this. And then, so I had my undergraduate degree for a little while, went out into the world, started working. And then I met my husband on a dating app, which I was saying before we went live, 13 years ago. And 13 years ago, meeting on an app was not something that you generally told everybody about. So, but it was something that really facilitated our connection, which, I could talk more about. But what I realized when I met him was, oh no, I don't actually have any skills to be in a relationship, right? So, I'd grown up with my parents who, ended up getting divorced. I went out and, kind of didn't really date because, I was focused on my career. And so then when I met my husband, I was like, oh gosh, I really like this man, but what do I do with this? Right. So there was chemistry, there was attraction, but I didn't know how to turn that into a long-lasting relationship. And, based on my parents, divorce, and actually my husband had already been divorced once. And so he had a child from a previous relationship. So I was like very aware, I think, of the gravity of what it meant to actually have a long-lasting, successful relationship. And I was like, I don't want to screw this up. I want to do it right. But how? And I ended up finding a licensed marriage and family therapist that I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't even know that you could learn and get a master's degree in relationship science. Cause I was focused on organizational industrial science. So anyways, I went to work personally with a marriage and family therapist. I learned so much about relationships. And the man is my husband now, and it's 13 years later. So, fingers crossed that I learned something. And then I decided to go back to master's, get my master's degree in marriage and family therapy as well. So I could, kind of pass on and help other people that might be in the same situation that I was in. I have a lot of love. We have a lot of chemistry, but I recognize that that doesn't always translate to skills for success in a relationship. So. Yeah. Anyway, that was my story.
I like that. Yes. And so in a way, your past, your history has developed into you becoming a therapist yourself, and you wrote this book, and you're addressing such an important topic of how do women and men relate to one another. We spend a lot of time and energy about connecting the two. You mentioned this earlier, where it's the instant attraction, right? Dating apps is, you'd swipe to the left or right. I'm not even sure. You swipe away, right? Or you like somebody. So you have that instant connection with somebody, but where do you go from there? How do you develop those skills? And that's something that we're not taught. And most of us are not taught that by our parents. And in fact, we tend to see things that are not healthy in the marriage when we grow up, right? Because their parents didn't teach them. And so it's this thing that we're supposed to automatically know somehow is, how do you relate to one another in a relationship? We're not taught that in school. We're not taught that anywhere. And so I love the fact that you're bringing this such an important topic to highlight this, because I think it's important for men and women to figure out, how do you relate to one another, sustainability, long term.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that was something that, I felt it. And I know that for some of my clients, that they've named that as well, is that, you know, with the way that we kind of glorify this romantic ideal of like, when it's the right person, everything just falls into place and love conquers all. And it becomes, you know, happily ever after. All you're looking for is that spark. And, you know, I remember feeling like, but there is a spark, but maybe I'm just not destined to be in a healthy relationship, because I didn't automatically get the download from the universe that like, here's what you do, you know? And so I was, you know, there was a point there where I almost thought like, maybe I'm just not meant to be in a relationship. Maybe I'm, you know, in some way irrevocably broken, because I grew up in a home that needs skills. But I think that's where being able to reframe that as like, no, these are skills that you can learn. They're actionable items. And not everybody gets the privilege of learning that in their family of origin. But you can learn them at any point in life. And so now, you know, I work with people across the lifespan. I work with, you know, young adults, and I work with adults in their 70s and 80s who are trying to, you know, do love well. And I just think that's such an empowering perspective, you know, that, and honestly, you know, if I can segue a little bit, that's partially why I've specialized in working with men. Because one of the things I've noticed is the difference between maybe some of the ways that therapy has been presented is that, you know, you go into a room and then you just talk about your feelings, and then you cry a lot, and then you do it again next week, and then you lay on the couch, and then you talk about your feelings and you cry. And for me, I was like, and then what? And so I think that's part of what I noticed also in working with men, with the hesitance of coming into therapy, was like, so we're just going to sit and cry and hug and then talk, you know, talk about our childhood and then figure out that our parents didn't teach us things. And then what? And so with creating this book and this model, I really wanted to kind of have that more strength-based perspective, which is why my book is called Strong. Is, you know, these are things that will help you feel empowered in a relationship, because they are actionable steps that you can learn and skills you can practice. And so, yeah, I found that a lot of my male clients very much resonated with that approach of like, sure, I'm happy to talk about my childhood, or happy to kind of do some self-investigation, as long as there is some tangible thing I can walk away from the session with and put into practice in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. And it's not all about talking about your emotions, but your emotions is a big part of that at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I love how you phrased it, where men will learn actionable steps. So often men, I think, are hesitant to going into therapy, and they'll say something to the effect, well, I'm here because my wife wants me to do the X, Y, and Z, or I just don't know how to communicate, and I don't know. So they come to therapy knowing that something needs to change, but they don't know how to change it, and that's huge. Mm-hmm. And men in general, like, just give me a list, give me things, actionable steps to work on. And it sounds like that's exactly what you did in your book called Strong. And by the way, do you have a copy of it? I want to show it to us. If you're listening to this, you got to go to the YouTube channel. It's called Strong. Tell us a little bit about your book here.
Yeah. So again, when I was naming my therapy practice, and you know, you're a therapist, so you know what that, you know, when you first are like, oh gosh, I'm going to start my practice, what should I call it? Right. And so, of course, I was like, I could call it crystal, you know, therapy. But one of the things I really identified is, though, even though I'm a woman, and this is a very heavily female-dominated field, I really had a passion for working with first responders and veterans. My husband is both of those things. And he had gone to therapy previously before we got together. So, you know, again, I just... One thing I name in my book, in the prologue, is the reason this book is directed towards men, and the reason I wanted to focus my practice on men, is not because I'm, you know, like, men are the problem and we need to fix them. But that there just aren't as many resources directed to men. And that is part of the intimidation factor is I found, you know, for men going into therapy where they're like, it's going to be a very feminine space. It's going to be very unfamiliar to me. And so I wanted to make it as approachable as possible. So calling my practice STRONG, breaking STRONG down into an acronym that are the six essential elements of a healthy relationship. So it's, you know, safety, trust, respect, openness, nurturing.
Can you hold it up a little bit? We can't really see. There we go. There, go start over.
Yeah. So STRONG, obviously, it's a powerful word. And then I broke it down into an acronym that stands for the six essential qualities of a healthy relationship. So number one is safety, right? I come from a trauma-informed approach. And so creating safety in a couple is number one. T, trust, obviously foundational to a healthy relationship. Respect, which again, one of the things I heard a lot from men is that they don't feel love unless it comes with a side of respect. And so really kind of blending that in into this approach of, yes, absolutely, respect is so crucial to a healthy relationship. So let's figure out what that looks like. So STR is kind of like my relational survival part of the equation. And then ONG, openness, nurturing, and generosity is about helping a relationship thrive. So, you know, continuing to stay open throughout the lifespan so people don't grow apart. Nurturing, what does that mean? Especially for men, where a lot of the messaging in our society is like nurturing is a woman's thing. So really, you know, how can you retain your kind of masculine stance and still be nurturing? And then generosity, which is just, I think, the fairy dust of the relationship. It's like, you know, if you go online and you read any kind of like pop psychology articles, they always talk about like, do nice things for your partner. And it's like, yes, that is super important. And it's, I mean, I'm in Texas, so it's kind of like lipstick on a pig unless you have the rest of it. So I, you know, I'm like, generosity is so important. But also for men, I think kind of reframing that, because sometimes when men hear like, oh, of course women want us to be generous in a relationship, like, well, you know, they want me to buy them stuff. I'm like, no. There are so many other ways that generosity shows up in a relationship that have nothing to do with your pocketbook, you know?
I love it. I love that acronym. And looking at the cover of your book, I noticed that you have a compass on it. Tell me a little bit about why you have a compass on there.
Because it is, again, like, and that's why I call it a relationship field guide. Because one of the issues I had with trying to write a book is, you know, relationships are not one size fits all, but it's good to have a general sense of like where you want to go, like what's your true point, right? Mm-hmm. So I also love hiking. And so I'm like, every hike is different, but unless you have a compass as to like, Where are you setting your true north? Like, what is your end goal? You know, you're kind of, I mean, you're going to get lost in the woods. And so that's.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's awesome. I love that analogy. I love stories and analogies like that. And, you know, one of the common themes that I have had when I meet with, men and male clients, it's they're searching for their identity and purpose in life. And, you know, you get to a certain age in the relationship or in their life, and they're kind of wondering, well, what's the meaning of my life? I've made it this far. I feel like I don't know what the next step or next chapter of my life is going to be like. And so I love that analogy of that compass, because it's a lot about learning and discovering who you are on the inside that's going to help guide you on the outside in your relationships. Yeah. I love that.
I also wanted it to, I guess, illustrate that men are at a really interesting point when it comes to redefining gender roles and what masculinity means.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
In this new kind of, iteration of our society. So in the prologue of this book, so obviously, like, you know, I go through those, you know, skills for safety, building trust, tools for repair and respect, all of that. But the prologue is also naming that, you know, in the past, men were given kind of three P's. As to, you know, what it means to be a man in the world and what it means to be a good man, right? And so it's like, be a protector, be a provider, and be a procreator, right? So these are kind of the essential three P's of masculinity. And, you know, there are a lot of men now, especially like, you know, like we need to bring masculinity back. Like, let's be protectors, let's be providers, let's be, you know, procreators. And that's not a bad thing by any means. And that's, in fact, what I say in the book. It's like, you know, I'm a heterosexual woman. I enjoy men and I really enjoy masculinity. I think there's a huge need for, you know, healthy masculinity, a mature masculinity. But also, I think there needs to be a little bit of maybe talking about how these three things can evolve in a modern relationship. So what does it mean to be a protector in a modern relationship to a woman who maybe doesn't need your physical protection, but maybe she needs your emotional protection, right? And what does that actually mean to help your partner feel safe and protected in the relationship? And it might not be about hitting the gym 3 or 4 times, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day. You know, like maybe that's not what makes her feel safe. So what does, right? And again, I really wanted to approach this book and my work from this perspective of, I really want men to be successful. It hurts me to see, you know, so many men feeling, like you said, disconnected, lost, purposeless, identityless, and really hopeless. And, you know, as mental health professionals, like, that's not a good trend by any means. It's not good for our society. It's not good for men. It's not good for families. And so really just, you know, I know you want to inhabit your protector. Let's give you some skills to do that in a way that's attractive to a modern woman. Right. And same thing, being a provider, like, okay, You want to provide for your family, but what if your wife is also an equal earner? Or what if she out-earns you? What then? Like, do you not have a purpose in your relationship? Or what else might you provide, right? Maybe you provide fun. Maybe you provide love. Maybe you provide, you know, all presence, like all these other amazing qualities that have nothing to do with your net worth. Which again, like I'm seeing a rise in some of that messaging when it comes to, you know, messaging about men and for men. I'm like, I don't think that's going to bring us closer to healthy relationships, because that once again kind of objectifies men.
Right.
Like you're just a wallet.
Yes, you're exactly right. And I think so many people equate status or maybe being popular or just where they're at in life, financial or power.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of confuse that in saying the richer you are, the more popular you are, the more powerful you are, the better man you are. And I think that has something that we in junior high, going all the way back in junior high, and we have the popular kids and the unpopular kids. And I think we tend to think that as we grow older, that we put people in categories like that, and including ourselves, right? We put ourselves in these categories. And if I can check off all the boxes, if I've done this and I've achieved this and I'm able to do this, then I must be somebody. Mm-hmm. But what you're talking about, no. It's not about status. It's not about wealth. It's about you as the person and what defines you in your character. That is such an important message in today's world, is that character has got to be more important than status.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I really, you know, I think I wrote this book for men, but a lot of women have reported to me that they read it and they have learned some insights about kind of the messaging towards men that they, you know, women don't get those messages. And one of the main things that I, like you just named, is men from a really young age, even, you know, so young boys, are often told that their worth is based on their performance, not their personhood, right? And so then they, like you said, they work on checking these boxes. They work on, you know, do I have, you know, the most money? Do I have the best status? Do I have the coolest car? You know, and then I'm going to attract a woman. And we're going to, again, this kind of fantasy about like, she's going to be attracted to me. There's going to be chemistry, and then we'll make it work. And what I've found, and so I name it in my book, is like there are relationships that are based on function, where it's this kind of box check, box check, box checked. And then there are relationships that are based on connection. But in order to have a connection-based relationship, you have to know kind of who you are as a person first. Otherwise, what is there to connect to? Right?
I love that. And I also love, Crystal, that you mentioned that this book is not just for men, it's also for women. And I think that mindset that I think a lot of men have developed from an early age, it kind of that mindset with a lot of women as well, right? Mm-hmm. So women who are wanting a man, mm-hmm. and maybe they have in their mind what a man that they want should be, and they have their own list that they check off. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're overlooking the whole character and personhood of the male rather than the position.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a whole other conversation, a whole other podcast. But that's really what I say. You know, the reason I wrote this book for men is so that men can feel a little bit more empowered coming into a therapy session. So they're like, I know what attachment is. I know what you mean when you talk about triggers. I know what, you know, safety means in a relationship, whatever, all of that. But then also I do name in there that if we're going to ask men to change and kind of, you know, evolve to this new iteration of what masculinity means, then what is our responsibility as their partners to provide a loving and open and, you know, how is that then going to impact us? And I, you know, like, you know, and therapy and relationships, like anytime one part of the equation changes, it will require a change on the other part as well. But, you know, maybe there's a, yeah. And I really do just, what I noticed is that women have been taking the lead in the relational space for a long time. And so that's part of why I wrote this book for men. It's like, you know, I feel like it's also time for now men to start taking the lead. Because I also know that men feel really empowered when they can take the lead. And again, not like power over, but like empowered within.
Right.
Yeah. To really step into their leadership in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And for men to like who they are, right? And realize that, oh, I don't have to do all these things. I don't have to be all these things. It's about discovery and discovering who they are as a human and who they are in the relationship, if they're in a relationship, and who they want to become if they're not in a relationship. Mm-hmm. The type of man that they want to be for their future partner. I think that's fantastic. And so here's a question I wanted to ask. So let's say a male is listening to this and they're wondering, okay, I know I need to change something. I know I need to do something. I could go to therapy, but I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't know what steps to take. It sounds like from your book, when you were mentioning your book, that's a good first step, even before going into therapy, to learn about a lot of this before they even go into the therapy session.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, that's, you know, if I can kind of share a little bit about the first chapter of
please.
The book.
Yeah, please.
Safety, again, is such a big concept. So I break it down into four S's. So the first one is self-awareness. And that's really about, you know, like you said, starting with yourself. Because one of the things actually was interesting, I had this conversation with my husband, is, you know, in this society, I'm speaking specifically to American society, which I actually did not grow up here. Maybe that's why I sometimes like talk that way. But I notice in American society, there's a huge emphasis on being in a relationship. So people start dating really, really young. And one of the kind of things in the self-awareness chapter is, do you know that you don't have to be in a relationship? And that like being in a relationship is like having a full-time job. So it's totally valid to have a self-awareness of, you know, I'm not ready for that right now. I really want to focus on my career, or I really want to focus on my own individual growth, or I really want to focus on, you know, kind of intentionally taking a step back from dating. And that's like a really, honestly, like, just starting with that self-awareness of, am I even ready to be in a relationship right now? And if so, why? Do I want to be? You know? And if am I looking for a casual dating, or am I looking for a long-term partner? And that's where, again, going to therapy and just kind of having a little bit of self-reflection, like with a partner, with a trained therapist, is really, really useful for then entering into whatever relationship you're going to be in with intentionality and recognition of what you're bringing into, like what part you're playing in the dynamic. So that's self-awareness, which is step one. The second S of safety is stability. And that's honestly like, I mean, I don't know, John, do you see couples?
I don't currently, but I did when I had my private practice.
Okay. So one of the things I see so much with couples is how like basic life skills stuff, chores, laundry, children, lunch, dinner, become kind of the grist of the, like, for the mill of conflict. And so what I kind of name is, you know, when you can have basic life skills and have stability as an individual, then you're not seeking it in a partner. So you're not entering into relationships from a place of like, gosh, I wish somebody would help me clean my house. I wish somebody would help me balance my finances. Like, I wish somebody would like save me from this chaos that I've created. And so that's also a big skill that I emphasize when it comes to safety is like, do you have like life skills to maintain a safe life for yourself and for your eventual family? And then the next two is, you know, skills for self-regulation. So, you know, again, if you're in conflict and you don't know how to self-regulate, or if you're self-regulating by using alcohol or drugs or something that kind of disconnects you from yourself, that's going to be an issue when you get into a relationship. So again, starting with learning what you need to be self-regulated, to be self-soothed, to handle kind of what comes up for you, and then also identifying whatever triggers might be your old pain points, so that you can then recognize when you get into a relationship, like, is this my partner or is this my old stuff that's being triggered? Yeah. And then the final one is, of course, self-expression, which is, you know, how do I talk about my emotions? You know, do I have the skills? Do I have the language? Or do I just, you know, have like, what I say, like mad, sad, bad, fine, okay. So really that's about like expanding your vocabulary and being able to talk about your emotions in a way that doesn't feel scary or overwhelming. Yeah. So these are my four S's of safety.
I love that. And I love the fact that that's the very first chapter. You get right into it, right? You get right into the heart of it, and it's, it sounds very actionable, oriented, goal oriented. Hey, reflect, do some self-reflecting, but then let's put it to practice. So, all right, I'm keeping an eye on our time here, Crystal, and I'm just envisioning someone listening to this. Maybe it's a husband, and the relationship is not the greatest, and maybe the husband is feeling some guilt or pressure, or I don't know, maybe some shame, or maybe it's a wife and the struggling in her marriage, and she's gone to her husband and begged him to go to therapy, and he's reluctant. Either scenario is someone who is questioning and trying to figure out what to do and work on, or questioning, I don't know if I want to go to therapy. I don't know what I should do. Maybe reluctant. This book is almost a perfect match for that, right? So whether it's a husband struggling with her husband, or a husband struggling with who he is, or even that's just a one scenario. Another scenario is a single person trying to figure out who they are. Mm-hmm. What would be, where can someone go to find this book, and, you know, tell us a little bit about where they can go and what they can do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is on Amazon, and I actually made sure that I got an Audible of it as well. So it is available on paperback, on Kindle, and on Audible. I noticed a lot of people, I guess, especially my male clients, they really enjoy listening. So I wanted to make sure that that was an option as well. So yes, all three ways you can get it on Amazon. If you want a signed copy, you can go to my website, strong.love, and you can buy it on there, and I'll send you a signed copy, and, you know, but it'll take a little bit longer because, you know, pop it in the mail and all that. I'm not Amazon. and then I've started, I'm located in Austin, so I've petitioned to have it be put into the Austin library system. And you know, I have friends. So if you have a library card, no matter where you are in the country, you can always request, through your library that they stock a copy of the book so you could get it for free. You know, again, this is really my passion is, creating healthier relationships. And a big part of that is having access to the information, which I found sometimes is the gap for men who feel like, I want a healthier relationship, but there's too much information out there. It's difficult for me to sift through. So that's kind of the barrier. And so again, with the book, I kind of distill it down into 6 very clear, actionable items. And that's why it's kind of a field guide. It's, you know, it's kind of the Cliff Notes version of what all the information that's out there about healthy relationships, so that you can at least have a primer, have a direction, you know, kind of set your compass a little bit. And then once maybe you get through my book, you'll feel more empowered to then either go to therapy or do some other learning from there.
I love that. That is awesome. So make sure you go, if you are listening to this and you're interested in it, make sure you go to Amazon, or make sure you go to strong.love. Obviously, everything that you would need, it's on the show notes, so you can go there as well. So Crystal, I just really appreciate you coming on, spending some time to come on the show and talking about such an important topic. And this is something I think can bring a lot of hope to a lot of people. So I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, I talk about this all day. So thank you for letting me talk about it with you.
You're very welcome. And I want to thank all of you for listening to the show, to the Mental Health Today show. My name is John Cordray, the host and the licensed therapist. I appreciate you. And as always, I want you to continue working on your mental health. Take care, my friends. Until next time. Bye-bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.